This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and today we're going to be talking about episode 7 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 16. We had a Rusical, the Sound of Rusic, and some really fun flower runways. So let's get into everything from this episode. And to help me break it all down is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I am good. I love a good Rusical, and I can't wait to talk all about it this week.
Yum. Ooh. Yes, we have the Sound of Rusic, which I feel like the internet consensus is all over the place when it comes to the Rusical. And I think a lot of that is because so many of the queens did do at least a serviceable, if not a good job.
For sure.
And so that's what makes identifying those queens who would end up in the bottom kind of a judgment call, depending on your own personal preference.
Yeah, I definitely felt like my opinions were not represented by the judges this week. Right. So I'm excited to break it down. I do think the one consensus I'm actually seeing, and a lot of people are like, you know, this is definitely a hot take. And meanwhile, I think it's actually probably the coldest take, which is that bring back live singing for Rusicals. Otherwise, it's just a lip sync challenge. And I'm there with them because there are some people who are inherently going to be making acting choices that are different if they're the ones who are singing and can better be in control of their entire character. Like, I think even if you're a shit singer, if you're acting it out, it could be better. And then you have people who are good actors, but I don't think necessarily made good acting choices with the voice they were given to lip sync with. So I'm excited to break it all down, Liana.
I think, so I've actually seen that take as well. And I think the perfect example is the Madonna Rusical, because that's one where even though, and it's so funny because even though Asia O'Hara screws up in that Rusical, you kind of get to see the fun way that she recovers from that. Or Cher. No, that's
Cher. Cher.
Sorry. Cher the Rusical is what I'm thinking of.
And
so that, like, that's,
I thought you were going Jan with Madonna. She'd be like, well, you can be the best singer in the world and not like,
yeah, well, no. I'm getting my icons in my brain all confused. No, but I do think the Madonna Rusical is also like a really just was a fun Rusical in and of itself. But no, I was thinking of Asia O'Hara specifically in the Cher Rusical. And so I think that, yeah, if you kind of bring that back to the Rusicals, especially because I'm not like, I guess I'm not sure exactly why the choice, maybe because of time or something like that. Like, there could be a logistical reason why they didn't do it, but I would also love to see that as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, would it take more time? They don't record. It's live singing, right? So,
I guess so. Because if they have to learn the lyrics, they have to learn the lyrics regardless, right?
I guess they probably would have to work with a vocal coach or something like that at some point to kind of like, you know, make sure that it doesn't have to be like, you know, Broadway level, but I always felt like, you know, if you watch like, you know, any of like the season sixes of the world who like, you had the Courtney versus Adore thing, which is always fun. But then you have the people who were like, can they embody the kind of background character as well? And like, you get like the people like April Carrion who can't. And I think, I don't know, like, I really think that bring it back. I want to see these girls do something other than lip sync, because you're going to have other lip sync challenges. You just had one with the girl groups. How is the Rusical then different? Because you have to act, but you have to act through singing. Like, that is the point of why it's different. So I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's testing another skill set instead of one that we've already, especially had now with the, I mean, I guess the talent show, just a lot of them did lip sync. So that's why it calls it falls in my head.
And everyone knows that you have to lip sync for your life in order to like stay. So it's like, at this point, you might as well test if people can make acting choices in different capacities. So anyway.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, so let's get into it. Let's talk about the details of this. So as we've been discussing, the queens this week were tasked with prancing, lip syncing, and acting up a storm in The Sound of Ruzick. And it's directed by Adam Shankman, which was really fun to have him as also the, not only the director, but staying on as the judge. And I think that this is something that we've been talking about for a while, which is when you have a guest judge that fits the challenge, that's so important. So having him, having La Roche for the design challenge, like those are choices that I'm just so happy with. And I would love if the judges, or if they continued to make those choices. Obviously, I understand it's not always going to fit, but if some of the time they can do that, we love that for us.
Especially also when you think of All Stars, if you can get the lip sync assassin to do a song that is in their wheelhouse, make it a real challenge. It's nothing weirder than when you bring out someone like Georges and they're like, and now a love ballad. And you're like, what?
Like, I'm sorry, who just is?
You wanted Georges to do the ghost punch thing? My heart will go on? What? You know?
Yes. Oh my gosh. That and then... oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on her name. The woman who did the queen who did the jump roping with her hair in the, yes, the leg kick. that's like when I think of queen's moves, that like those are the ones that the two that come to mind I always think of. Oh, that's so great. All right. Before we get into actual performance, we have a little bit to discuss when it comes to deciding the roles, because there was some drama mama over this, which I thought was very interesting because, you know, Plasma, the first queen to really just like, I want this role. There is no other role on my list to not give up and absolutely fight for the role that she wants. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I always like when people really stick with the, you know, I want to do this and blah, 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 blah. We did not have another moment where Safira, for example, like backs out and goes, no, actually, you do it, which ended up being, I think, the beginning of the end for Mirage. So we did not see that happen to Megami or Plasma this time around. I'm going to be honest. After hearing the part and the way it was voiced, I think Megami would have done a really good job as the lead. I think that it's not... This Rusical was weird.
You mean Morphine?
Wasn't it?
So Plasma, Morphine, and Safira were going for the lead. And then it was Megami and Q for the Baroness.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry. My apologies. Yeah,
those are the two like contentious decisions.
Okay. Yes. I had them mixed up in my head.
A lot of M's.
M's. Yes. 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 Morphine. But I, you know, we'll get into that too, because I have thoughts. But I definitely feel like this role, whereas last year was basically Footloose, just like condensed and then made it wig loose. Right. This was so not anything like The Sound of Music. So I was like, where was the heels are alive? Like, I thought that this was like, there was going to be, I knew they were going to do that. There's nothing you cut face. Like, I knew that was going to be in there somewhere, because it's like, duh. But I was sitting back being like, oh, there's so many fun puns and they can like, and I did like Anal Vice. I think that was a nice shout out there, writers. But I really felt like this had really nothing to do with The Sound of Music. And I'm not surprised Plasma wanted the lead, but it was so nothing like Julie Andrews's Maria that it made like no sense that she wanted it that badly. It was much more of like a, I don't know, like there was a sassier version to this character that I didn't feel like necessarily Plasma could pull off, and I don't think she did. So I don't know.
Mm. So do you feel like then Morphine would have potentially been a better fit?
I do. I actually
or
do.
Saphira, I guess.
I don't think Saphira would have been a better fit. I think Saphira had the role that she would have shined the best in. I'm really happy that she was, you know, the Mother Superior role. I love that for her because I think it did make the most sense. But no, there was something that was like a little bit more, I don't know how to describe it. It was like the Julie Andrews character comes in and she's very much like, come on, children, we're going to sing, you know, like.
All I can hear is Ben De La Creme.
Yes.
Oh, mother.
Shady queen bitch. I know. Okay, anyway. It's so true. Microphone drop. Yeah.
Now I just like have Liz that free. I know
for sure. It's one of the best things that the writers ever did for this. I don't know. There's just like the Maria role is not Maria, or Mariah role was not Maria. I should say. I just think it had like a little bit more tude, a little bit more like sass attitude. Like I don't know, and it just I didn't get it from Plasma.
So I'm looking at, I went back to look because I agree with you. I feel like she was so clean and polished, right? And I almost feel, except for the hair, I agree with Plain Jane. I understand the wig, but it was like really messy. Like it didn't look like the tidy sort of Julie Andrew. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little off. But there's something about like, I'm just gonna very quickly play just a little bit of this.
Yeah.
Of like, she's very technical in her movements, and I love that. And I think, obviously, I think she did very well. At the same time, I also understand what you're saying in terms of an actual character. Mm-hmm. Like she felt like a super solid, neutral, technically competent, precise role.
Hi, I'm here to do the words and I'm going to give you emotion, but it may not match up with what the emotion should be. So she had like a lot of, I'm going to change the world kind of energy when it was really like, girl, come on in here. We're going to change this up. Like it just didn't match the correct energy. I really felt like, and I know that I'm getting more into the critiques of Plasma now, but like I really felt like Plasma was giving me if her role was Barbara Streisand. There was a lot of this, honey. We're going to change the world and do a blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that is not what the voice sounds like.
Yeah.
Even when you're, she's doing her thing that she normally does. This thing right here. Yes. Like, and I was like, that is so not what this voice of this character is supposed to be. And if for somebody who is, you know, prized for the theater, I wish she would have really listened and embodied a different character. Because what I got was, you know, musical theater nerd who like, especially after how much she just, and Dawn couldn't stand it, how much she was saying, how much she loves The Sound of Music. This really had nothing to do with The Sound of Music other than to give a few different puns.
Right. So I think there's sort of I have two like thoughts based on your thoughts. Is that a thing? I don't know. Whatever. So the first is Plasma. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think I thought of that in the moment. So I just kind of appreciated like what she was doing from the technical perspective and that it looked very clean. Pardon the wig. So like I didn't mind it. But now that you're saying it, I feel like, oh, yeah, that could have been a lot better. Not that she wasn't already great, but it could have also then been elevated on top of that. I, you know, we never know how some of the other queens would have done. So it's tough to say like, oh, I feel like Morphine really would have executed that well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it also would have been kind of cool to see her try that because we know what Plasma can do. So just from a curiosity perspective, I would have loved to have seen what Morphine did. The other thought is obviously on the whole Rusical, like as a concept. So I kind of just want to talk about this and then we can get into maybe some of the individual queens.
Sure, sure.
Because I 100% agree with you. I expected it to be a parody of The Sound of Music, but it was not that, except for the one song with the family Von Snaps. And that's the thing, is that there were a lot of references, but it wasn't like a recreation or doing a lot of the songs, except for that one, which was sort of the remix of like Doe, a deer, a female deer, like that one. Other than that, it was, you know, just some vague references. Like, why did we get Break Up Bye Bye? I mean, I'm happy about it. I love that song. But why was that in The Sound of Reason?
Yeah, why not? Well, why not UK it. Hun? Okay. Yeah. I mean, at this point, just say that they're in the UK because clearly they're, I'm just kidding. Like, it's just, they're not in Switzerland or Austria or whatever.
Well, yeah, I think, my understanding of the story is that it was supposed to be, so it's like it's a gay bar in the Swiss Alps and it's like a performance singing competition.
Yes.
So like Eurovision, but not Eurovision.
This was a joke that unless you know the LA scene, you don't get the joke, which the vast majority of like casual viewers won't. The Abbey is one of the biggest gay bars in LA. So when they said the Abbey, a gay bar, blah, 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 in the Swiss Alps, you just sat back and you were like, this whole joke is a setting about a gay bar in LA. Like that was like the joke. So I don't know. Like, I feel like, we're going to do this whole song competition thing and it's going to be nuns versus Von Snaps versus the Baronesses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I mean,
and then Mariah shows up and joins the family Von Snaps.
Yeah. They're like, you don't fit our family. Like, They were like, we're going to do singing like the part that just drives me nuts is like, if you're going to do that, make it houses, do something that's a little bit more queer coded, I would say. Make it if you're going to do an obvious parallel to the ball scene, make it a ball competition. Like, it just felt like it was lacking in structure in a way that made sense, while also getting things from the source material. So, like, in terms of performances, I think the queens did amazing. In terms of writing, it was a weird direction to bring the Rusical in. That's where I felt.
And I agree. I think also because you come in with certain expectations of what you think that things are going to be. And when they don't match those expectations, but also it's a little bit unclear, then it just feels discombobulated because you're just not 100% sure. Like, okay, wait, what is happening? What is going on? And then you spend time doing that instead of actually appreciating what the queens are doing. So I think that this is one of those Rusicals that the initial viewing was probably going to be the most I dislike it. Yeah. And then I'm only going to continue to like it as I watch it more. Mm-hmm. And especially because the queen's performances individually were also strong, that elevates everything once I can kind of get past my initial confusion.
Well, it was just like, I figured the moment they said they were going to do The Sound of Ruzik, I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, last year was Wig Loose and like making a commentary on drag being like banned from places. Like, that's really topical. Oh, okay. Like, there are literal Nazis. Maybe they're going to do like a whole, the commentary that's topical now. And it had nothing to do with the plot.
Yeah, no.
Which
no.
I get. I mean, The Sound of Music is like 17 hours long. So I don't expect that they're going to be like, let's just condense this into one 10-minute musical.
Yeah, like, I get that. The spark notes on that one.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's go through the queens and we can kind of talk about all their performances. Is there anything else that you want to say about Plasma and her performance here? Because I know we've already really touched on her.
I mean, again, I think she did a serviceable job of, like, she nailed all the moves. She knew all the words. She didn't mess up. But she also just didn't evoke the character that was being voiced. And so that, for me, was really distracting. And I would not have put her in the top. I do think that runways definitely also played a role this week. And I think that the runway really did push her up to the upper echelon. But I would have found her safe if it was just based off of the, I don't think she should have been the bottom. But I do think that she did a safe job. I really think that somebody else who could have taken that role and won with it, I don't, and it's not like I don't think that she had the tools for it. I just don't think she utilized the tools for it. So that's where I kind of feel with her.
I think I absolutely still would have put her in the top. I think then it's a matter for me of her versus Safira, probably, for me, for that top slot. Mm-hmm. And I have some like question marks about Safira's. So let's talk about her next, which is why I still might give it to Plasma. Because this is where I get in my own way when it comes to trying to read and edit. And it's not that I'm trying to do it. I just happens. Like, we have watched so much freaking reality TV. Mm-hmm. I can't turn a part of my brain off. So when they're showing all these up closes of Safira, initially it's Safira with the bad habits and it's Morphine and Maya as the other two. So Safira in that first performance for the group, I was like, I don't know. I feel like she's not doing that good. Yeah. Am I being shown that she's doing poorly? Like, but then she had her solo act, which was fantastic. So fun. I thought she absolutely nailed it. And then I was like, okay, so she is doing well then. So I was just really confused. And I thought she would have ended up in the top. By the end of the day, I was like, okay, she's going to end up in the top. But the group performance is really what threw me off the most.
Yeah. And you know what it was? It was some of it was spacing. Of like two of them would be really close together and then one of them would be really far away. And I was sitting back trying to be like, who's at fault here? Is it the person who's far away? Is it the person who's too close in the middle and they haven't done the right spacing, which was Safira most of the time? Or is it Maya and Maya's too close? And I couldn't really tell who was who. I felt like this is what I'm learning with Safira. We said this with the girl group. It's not that she looks like a deer in headlights. She has a very intense look, and the way that she paints her face makes it so her eyes really pop in a way that's intense, but not deer in headlights. So I think I like misread that before in the girl group challenge, but it makes sense for her to lip sync that way and to, like Michelle said, do like the old, you know, like quiver the lips and those kind of things when she's lip syncing. When it's her own song, she really took command. And when it's a group thing, it comes across like she's thinking, like she's trying to figure out where she's supposed to go, what's the choreography, all that kind of stuff. So I definitely think she did a great job when it was her solo. That group was really hard. And I felt like when it was the three of them performing, Morphine stood out to me. Like I felt like she was one of the best in terms of all the background characters who really didn't have anything. I thought Morphine should have been way closer to the top in terms of acting. So when she was in the bottom, I was like, what? And I think a lot of that has to do with, I felt like the same way that you did, that Safira was a little questionable in the group act and kind of let herself, even as the main character out of the three, be a background character, and Morphine outshone her. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I also thought Morphine did a great job. She just had so much energy. And so you kind of just, your eyes kept being drawn, and for me, kept being drawn over to her. Mm-hmm. So I was very confused when she ended up in the bottom. Although, you know, in Untucked, she talks about how she's like, I'm the third. Like, I got mostly positive critiques. And so that must have come across that, oh, you still did really well. It's just these few little nitpicky things. Mm-hmm. But I think she should be really happy and really proud based on the fact, one, she didn't get the role she wanted. So then she was put into this other role. I think she did an absolutely fantastic job. And I think probably the runway is maybe one of the reasons why she did end up in the bottom. Now, Maya is the other person in that group. And as soon as the veil thing fell over her head, I was like, oh, no. I mean, she was missing some lyrics, so I was already nervous for her. But then once that happened, I was, oh, she's in the bottom for sure. For sure.
I honestly felt like she went with it, though. And she was like, the choices I saw her making were that of a ditzy nun. And so when the habit went over her face, I was like, oh, this kind of works to her advantage. And when she's like, and then like flapped it back over, I was like, this is the most acting I've seen and like most energy outside of doing a flip that I've seen Maya do. It really was distracting, though, how many words she missed. And that was the issue. There would be times where it was clearly her and Morphine were supposed to be going back and forth. And Morphine knew what she was, and whether if Morphine was wrong and Maya wasn't, and Maya looked over and realized they were doing the same thing, and then Maya changed, Maya let that happen then, because Morphine was like, I'm gonna do what I want to do here. And I feel like we just saw Maya trying to play catch up rather than being in the moment. But I will say, for something like with The Habit, I thought that she actually played that off really well. And she could have gotten on that stage, and if they had said, yeah, you know, and like The Habit flipped up or whatever, she could be like, oh, I actually did that on purpose. I thought it'd be funny to do a ditzy thing. You know, the judges would have been like, well, I didn't come across that way, because they have to defend their own opinion. But like, that very well could have been what she had decided to do. And had she been able to pick up the words and that kind of thing, I think it would have been fine.
I mean, that's the thing. I think everybody did so well. So it's really just nitpicking these like really small things. And yeah, the judges also having their own opinions. They want to be in the bottom. So let's talk about the family bond snaps. So this is Nymphia, Megami, and Dawn. I thought Dawn just looked really cute overall. I know she's not a fan of musical theater, but I thought she did really well. She was really cute.
I thought Dawn did amazing. She was the standout for the three of them here for me. I thought that she was just like really in character the whole time, and it was really funny and ditzy and cute. But like, I'm just a little girl kind of like vibe or whatever. But also just like, I don't know. It was so cute, and it was very much up her alley. Because as we are seeing episode after episode, she goes from being like, "Oh, aren't you just such a cute young drag queen," and then you find out that she's probably actually the real villain of the season. You know what I mean? Like, and so that's what I think is so great, is that we get to see that aspect of her. I love the way that she painted the teeth and like all this stuff. Like, she really had a sense of character and brought that, and I really liked her performance.
I totally agree with that. And I think then for me, the next one that I enjoyed in that group was Nymphia. And I saw a comment that was like, yes, the banana to pine cone pipeline. That made me laugh so hard. I mean, I thought the character was just bizarre in and of itself. Like, I was like, do I need to rewatch The Sound of Music? Like, what am I missing here? But it's like the obsession with bananas, the obsession with pine cones. Like, I get why Nymphia would pick that role for herself.
The character's a weird one. I do think, if I remember correctly, there's like a throwaway kind of thing that one of the kids likes pine cones or something, like,
okay,
like collects or something
that.
But like, again, it's not a plot point. Okay. So there's no way that there's one of those things, but it just, Nymphia was weird to me, not in like a in a way that I celebrate weird, because I celebrate weird a lot, but in a way that I felt like she was delayed on a lot of her lip syncing. Like, it was like she was listening to it and trying to get the words out as quickly as possible right after the fact. I didn't feel like she had a very clean lip sync. I felt like she did a really good job of overacting with the role. But it was distracting in not a look at her stand out kind of way, and more of a what is she doing kind of way. I just felt like she was a half second behind everything, which very well could have been a character choice that just didn't land for me. I actually kind of felt like she was somebody who I would have put as the safe bottom. But I don't know. Like, she, I don't know. I just found her a little distracting.
I remember thinking she doesn't know the words. Like, I remember thinking that at one point. So I don't know if I didn't think she was behind. I thought she was just didn't know everything and was doing a little bit of that really open watermelon kind of mouth that you're just hoping that it's close enough that people realize that you don't actually know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you. I was just guessing at what Liana was going to say after a while, which is what I feel like Nymphia was doing. So,
so it works. But I think their song overall was my favorite. So I also have a little bit of bias towards that group that I really enjoyed this song.
Well, you know why? That song was closest to something in the Sound of Music.
It's what I expected. See, that's exactly my preconceived notion that I went into the Rusical thinking was going to happen. This one met those expectations. So I think I was able to just enjoy it a little bit more because I knew that it was like, or I was mentally prepared for it.
Absolutely.
I can't just enjoy queer art. I have to be mentally prepared for queer art, apparently. Well, speaking of queer art, Megami, we got to talk about Megami. What did you think about her performance?
I do think that she did a serviceable job to her role. I do agree with the judges that it felt like when the camera, so to say, was on her, she was on. And when it wasn't her moment, which was most of the time that she was on stage, she was off. In terms of being on and off character, not being on and off like the mark of what the choreography or whatever is. You kind of caught her thinking. And I think that Michelle had a really valid point to bring up, like, you need to be aware that we're getting the same face over and over and over. Because I do think that that is something that queens and people in general don't hear all the time. I remember last season where they said, Anitra, are you aware that you give resting bitch face? And she was like, no. And then like afterwards, that wasn't an issue unless she wanted it to be a part of the character. So I do think that one of the reasons why, you know, you go on to these shows or you ask for feedback from people is to become aware of things that maybe you're not as aware of. But she does have kind of like the same face. And even when she was getting that judging, I was like, girl, you're making the face right now. Girl, it's literally your resting face. You have to change it. You have to be able to raise an eyebrow.
we'll talk about it when we go through the looks quickly because I couldn't stop staring at it. And I also, again, blame freaking Dawn for this. The Eeyore of drag will not leave my mind. So can't help but like see that every time. And the other thing that I had with her performance, I'm trying to find a still of it in the video right now, but she was wearing these glasses. And the glasses didn't allow us to see her eyes very well. So we couldn't see any if she was giving emotion through the eyes, we just didn't see that because she was wearing these glasses. She does end up taking them off, but at least I'm looking at the main group that their main song, and she's wearing the glasses the whole time. So it's like, that also, I think, hampers the performance because you're missing one of the most important expressive parts of your face.
Yeah, the eyes are the windows to the soul, right? Although if you're going to do that as, who was it, Bimini, as Katie Price, the nipples are the eyes of the face. I say that all the time. It's so stupid. But it's true, like your eyes and your eyebrows are the things that are really expressive and are, if you're blocking a lot of that, which you may not be thinking about that when you're on stage, like, right now, if I know if I move my glasses in a certain way, I'm going to have glare and you're not going to be able to see what my eyes look like. Now, you're not going to be thinking that while you're dancing and doing choreography on the stage when you've got stage lights and TV lights on you. But it is something to keep in mind that if you don't need the glasses for the just future people who are obviously listening to this, who are going to make it on Drag Race. Push out the glasses, Porsche, like the light, just so that we can see.
It was part of her character. Like, I'm trying to find the place where she rips it off. She rips it off her face because I remember that was a point in the performance or at some point when she takes the glasses off. But
why do the glasses? All of a sudden she has corrective vision. Like, what is like that also?
Well, they have like lashes. Okay, so here, this is as best as I can do for the moment. So, all right, here we go. Okay, so there are these. If you're watching the YouTube version, I have pulled up a screenshot. They have bottom lashes, which I now just noticed. And I don't think they have lenses. I can't really tell. It looks like she's got tape between them. Like maybe she's the ugly, because she's the ugly, smelly sister.
Well, you know, glasses say that. I don't know if you're aware. The reason why I'm wearing glasses today is I'm trying to evoke that I smell bad.
Well, no, because wasn't it the comment about her beaver smelling bad? So I'm not saying, so anyway, so that this, but this big red bar at the top completely covers her eyebrows, which goes to your point, Beth, about the eyebrows, especially using them to emote. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's another reason. I mean, look, I'm not saying she was emoting behind the glasses, but it could have been a potential reason why she ended up in the bottom.
I, you know, also those glasses just don't fit her face. Like if you had glasses that fit your face, that bar doesn't hit.
Look at these titties.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that is coming up next for sure. We need to discuss the titties for sure. Okay. You all hear the glasses thing. I'm moving on to the tits. Why?
I saw. So in the next. Okay. So the coming up, you know, before the commercial. And all I could see, I was like, oh my God, why do Megami's tits look like that? How does this, I don't know. They were so distracting to
me. I need the queens of season 16 to go to Breastplate Academy and learn what the hell to wear. You've got Safira, who has decided to make a season out of wearing a breastplate six times too small for what she should be doing. You've got queens that are falling out of their breastplates every single. Then you have this, which like I'm not even sure that's a that defies gravity. It makes me think they should have been doing a Wicked thing. Like what is happening here? It's a pancake. Here.
Her collarbones. They come out of her collarbones.
That is a medical marvel. That is what that is. I look at that and I'm like, how did you get pancakes coming out of your collarbone that you're also not wearing a bra? Like what? It is. That's a lot. But also, if she's supposed to be the hairy sister, why isn't there hair? It would have been so funny to put chest hair on those titties. Like, if you're going to have something that big and you're supposed to be hairy, show me some hair. Also, where's Geneva? She could have been putting the hairy legs to work.
Is that why she has bottom lashes? Because she's hairy? I don't know.
Megami, listen, I want to protect queer art too, but I need to understand it, okay? And so if the art here is that you were trying to make an eye out of your glasses, a little bit of work next time. I think I see the vision. I just don't know if it was executed. If it was supposed to be because you're hairy, girl, what? There's so many other places you could put hair that makes sense rather than on glasses.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really get the titties. They weren't, they were distracting to me, but I wouldn't say that like, oh, it made her performance worse. Although maybe it did because then I couldn't look at her, but maybe that was the point. So I was distracted by the titties.
Well, you can look at her eyes. So where are you supposed to look?
Staring at them. Yeah, I know. Like, look at them.
Well, this is a prime example of the nipples are the eyes of the face.
Exactly. All right. That's enough titty talk for
the
now.
The Baronesses. Let's bring them up.
Yes. Let's move on to Club Anal Vice. So Tsunami, Plane, and Q. So the first thing that immediately I noticed was in the rehearsal, all three of the queens were doing the breakup bye-bye choreo. Mm-hmm. However, when Tsunami and Plane first come out and do the breakup bye-bye choreo, there is no cue to be found. And I found that very suspicious. My tinfoil hat theory is that Q did not get it, could not get it, and they were like, don't bother with this part.
I like it. I thought that it would have to do with having just like, because she has her own huge number with a big long stole, that maybe it was like, we got to get her ready off to the side kind of thing. But
but Safira did that. Safira did the group role. And then all she needed was the big ass rug. or whatever Megami called it, a rug, I think.
Also, I'd live for Megami having that. The editors are so shady in the best of ways, having a moment where she was like, girl, what choreo?
Yeah, what choreo?
But honestly, she's not wrong. What choreo? And if the theory is correct, Liana, then what's his first name? It's Alan Shankman? Well, no. Not Alan.
Shady Boots. Adam Shankman.
Adam, thank you. Jeez. Yes. Would know. And so she's in the top. But she got to
yes. Exactly. What? I believe yes. Megami said, what choreo? She walked back and forth with a rug. That's what Megami said in her confessional.
I did think that, though. Dying. I was like, okay, so she walks around her. But that was the other thing. I think it was supposed to be like she wrapped all three of them up. And at the end, it was like one was barely across one of like Plane's legs. And Tsunami was completely out of it at that point. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like as effective as like I think that Adam was probably hoping it would be. But it just, I don't know. I think this is the group that all three of them really embodied their characters the best. Yeah. I definitely think that Plane and Tsunami were very serviceable in their roles. Definitely really good. Plane is a good, good campy actress and knows the exact amount of camp to put to it so that it's not too over the top, but enough that you're like, okay, this is enjoyable. This is pantomime. This is whatever. Like, I get it. Tsunami, it was fun to see her kind of, I'm living for Tsunami being like, you know, I kind of live for Jane being so shady. Mm-hmm. And like,
kinda, well, and she has a crush on her too, apparently.
I know, we learned that. Could you imagine a Plane Tsunami? What's that even look like?
I feel like a plane should not be going into a tsunami. That also means the plane is probably crashing if it's going into a tsunami, unless the wave is really high, I guess. I don't know.
A tsunami would be pretty high, but probably not that high.
I don't think it's high as a plane, like 10,000 feet in the air. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know. LAX is near the ocean, and you have to descend, or like, and you're ascending.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's landing. Anyway.
No, I just felt like this group did a really good job. Like, I got a sense of their characters. They embodied everything. I do think that Q did a really good job of, you could tell in her face alone that she was the lead of the three of them. Like, I really got a good sense of her character and that kind of thing. But I also felt like the choreography was nothing. And the way she walked was not like regal. It was okay, and I walk around this general area and I come back over here. Like, I got a sense of like, she's like, and now I walk to the left and now I walk to the right. Like, it didn't really give me a sense of her just kind of walking across the stage and like having this moment and owning the stage and accidentally just wrapping everybody up behind me. Like, that is what I was expecting from that character. So I don't know, like, I agree with her being in the top, but I also like agree with Megami.
I didn't really get the rapping part until, because I was like, why is Tsunami moving weird? And then I had to try to figure out what had happened to like get Tsunami to that point. So that to me didn't super translate well in the show, or at least the way that it was edited. I think because there were so many close-up shots too, you just kind of like didn't really think about that, like the soul being so long. But I think that they all did a good job overall. I'm pretty happy with their performances. And I agree that I think that especially Tsunami and Plane really embodied those characters, that bitchy character, really well. And they had plenty of practice in the workroom going around stirring up drama.
So good.
And that really translated the method acting, getting into the character.
Yeah, it was great to see a different side of Plane. You know, we don't see her as this like shady, bitchy character. And it was just fun to see her like really embody somebody completely different.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, the last. Okay, I'm reading through my notes just to make sure I cover everything. I thought that Plasma was giving a little bit of Kris Jenner.
Yes.
It was like Alexis Michelle as Kris Jenner. That was what I thought of the entire time.
It's the blonde wig.
It's got to be the wig. I literally, it was like wig, yeah, wig question mark. So I love that. All right.
You're either in the top or the bottom if you're wearing a wig like that. You're either, you know, Alexis Michelle as Kris Jenner or you're Katya as Princess Diana.
Right.
Like, oh, in between.
Sabotage.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Let's go through the runways quickly. Mm-hmm. We will give a quick toot or boot. So the I can buy myself flowers, and then also that ends up being the lipstick song, which I thought was very funny. Let's first talk about a plasma. I was blown away by this look. I thought it was stunning, and I think it was sort of the cherry on top that made her win. Like, yes, this is the win.
For sure. And the fact that this happened to also be like, I know it's a flower runway, but the fact that it's also on the Rusical episode was like, oh yeah, My Fair Lady, perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And so she could, my favorite thing is she comes out and she's like, I'm a theater girl, and like my two favorite characters are of course Liza Doolittle and I just did Christopher Walken. I don't know. Liza Doolittle. <She's->
I also heard that's one of Plasma's favorite characters. She loves the actor.
Oh, yeah. So she's, but like, she says My Fair Lady, and then she goes, and of course, and then she says Barbara Streisand. And I go, you just had a whole 10-minute section about how much you love The Sound of Music. I thought you were going to say Sound of Music, even though I know that's not the reference here. It's just funny. But I mean, she looks gorgeous. This is flawless.
Yeah, It's a toot.
Lovely.
Saphira's up next, and I did see, so I think Plasma was the, I saw this on Reddit, Plasma was at Roscoe's viewing party and said apparently there was even more to this look, but she couldn't walk the runway. Like, she would not have been able to fit through the door, which is, like, this is already gorgeous, stun, total toot. But the fact that there was more to it, oh my God, mind blown.
Somebody questioned this online, and I agree. How the hell did she pack this in the pumpkin thing for Drag
and
Race?
And she had more.
And she had more.
How many suitcases? How big was the suitcase? Did she get one of those crates?
Now and I just like she packed everything with a tiny breastplate. She had no
That's why.
Yeah,
that's exactly
this is
right.
Why? Yeah. Oh my God, she said, "Bitch, I'm going to bring the smallest titties alive because I've got the biggest." Dresses. This is my favorite runway this week. It is absolutely above and beyond. So beautiful, so incredible. Just this is one of my all-time favorite runways I've ever seen on Drag Race. I'm absolutely floored by this. It's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yes. So I went back to recheck that Reddit post. So apparently there were bigger petals in her look that she had to remove. Otherwise, she would not be able to walk through the opening of the stage set. So, yeah, I mean, toot, and then it would have been a double toot, a toot, 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 shoot on top of that. If
or
I mean, maybe, it's already a shoot, to be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely a shoot. But maybe it's the type of thing, you know, they say that you should take something off before you leave, you know, take a couple of items off. Maybe it would have been too much.
Yeah. This look needed to be edited down.
She walked out. They walked out, and it was like, I could just see it now. Like, this is an incredible look from head to toe. It's just, it's a little too much.
Yeah. You know, you got to look in the mirror and take one thing off before you leave. Those extra petals, pluck them.
Yeah. You know, I think of the last time they did a flower runway was All Stars 3, right? And they had, and the way that it was described apparently was dripping with flowers. And they said to Trixie, you have too many flowers on you. And she's like, still like, you know, I could just absolutely see them being like, this is absolutely stunning and gorgeous. It's just too many big petals.
I mean,
maybe she was backstage and being like, he loves me. He loves me not. You know,
judge is going to judge. Yep. All right. Let's talk about Morphine, who I do, I love the fact, so even though this is simple, I do love the fact that she dragged it up with the rhinestoning, and I agree with the comment about the wig, I think, and she just wears it well, and she has such a good energy on the runway that makes me like this more probably than I should.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I wish that she had lined the inside of the sleeves or something like that. But I think she unfortunately had to follow Safira and Plasma, who came out with like two shoots in a row. And then she's like, but peace and love.
How do you follow that? That's so tough.
So, I mean, I thought that she, like you said, she did a great job, but it's just, it feels basic comparatively, even though
exactly. Yeah. Next is Maya. Oh, and by the way, I just want to shout out at Drag Period Looks, D-R-A-G, the period, the little dot, looks, L-O-O-K-S, on Instagram. That's where I grab these looks from. Their watermark is on there, but I just want to mention it for our audio listeners. Although, yeah, anyway, whatever. okay, so Maya here. I do agree with the comment about the bangs. I wanted to just go snip, 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 snip. But
or
I
just really loved
this. Well, yeah, exactly. I loved this overall, though.
This is the most beautiful she's looked on Drag Race. I love this outfit. I love that she's going for a rose. She looks gorgeous in red. This is just head to toe beautiful. It's too bad the bang is just that distracting, because otherwise I don't think you could say anything about this.
I know.
But I know she is gorgeous in this outfit. Yeah.
Next up, we have Dawn. And I believe, what was her explanation? She was a corpse?
Yeah, something like
a
that.
Devil corpse?
I thought this was a commentary when she first went around. I thought she was going to be like Persephone or something like that. Like, you know, the goddess that was basically kidnapped by Hades. And you know, she comes out once a year to be with her mother, which is what, Demeter? And, you know, that's when spring happens. But like you have like the devil horns and like the death thing that's supposed to be like winter. So I thought that was what it was going to be. And then she said a completely different thing. And then I didn't like it as much.
Yeah, I want to take the devil stuff off, because I think that the blue in and of itself, that dress, I think is absolutely gorgeous. I almost, maybe the corpse thing is what I wanted to see and not anything she actually said, because that's what I wanted from this look. I just feel like the red and the blue is a little bit distracting and just doesn't gel as well as I wanted it to. I mean, I think Dawn is absolutely stunning in general, and I'm really obsessed with her looks. This one for me just doesn't hit what I wanted.
I agree. And I also do think that the dress itself is unique enough that we've never seen anything like that. Even the shape is something that it's like a twist on a traditional shape and form. And there's aspects about this that scream Victorian at the same time, like a high society Victorian. At the same time, you've got, you know, these flowers that, I don't know, like, I just think it's gorgeous, but you needed her story to make it make sense. And right. It made less sense to me. So I don't know. I do think of the looks that we've seen, this is the one that clearly is creative, but it doesn't land, I think, the way that she wanted it to.
Yeah. Next up is Megami with her sad look on her face. And this look, for those of you, it's the top image, but if you are just listening to the audio version, essentially it's a look that she had throughout the judging, which, Beth, you already brought up, but she just looked so sad. And of course you're going to be sad. You're up there getting negative critiques, but you, like, just pull it together a little bit and just look less like Eeyore.
It's honestly, Dawn ruined Megami in the first episode.
I blame Dawn.
Yeah, let's blame Dawn here. Dawn, we love you. Megami, we love you. But my God, the Eeyore of drag thing has, like, that is something that unfortunately is like, Megami, if I were you, you should be making Eeyore, like, dragged up Eeyore shirts and selling them. Because I think that I would buy one in a heartbeat. Talking about the look, though, in general, I actually don't hate this as a concept. I do agree that she should have had the dress out for a lot longer and then got rid of it. Or she should have done a reveal like, this was what I wore during.
We're just going to keep that there. Stop. Continue.
No, I can't. The way it entered the screen, it went up and down for a second. It was like, hello, I'm here to say.
Like, I can see it. Like, I just. It's a picture of Eeyore.
God, that's so funny. What I was gonna say is I wish what she had done is wore a gown and then ripped it away as if it was now the wedding night. Okay, so like, is what I wore during the wedding, and then for the wedding night, like, have this is like her lingerie, and like, you know, she took the bouquet or whatever. Yes, I get that, but like, I think there's more she could have done with this. It's not really the flowers aren't the point of the runway in this look. And I think that's also points against her, unfortunately, here. But I think she looks gorgeous. Like, I think this is such a cool look on her. It's just, I just think there are elements here that maybe just aren't as strong as some of the other queens, or don't maybe make the most sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, we're going to get rid of Eeyore here because we're going to talk about Nymphia next. I thought this was incredibly creative. And I love the fact that she did something to me that was very unexpected. Mm-hmm. And to come out as a cactus with the little flower on top of her head, and then to also have the growth of the arms, like, all of that was just very cute.
It was super cute. I did not know what to expect with the arms when all of a sudden it started poking through. And I was like, oh my God, she's
so cute.
This was so cute. I loved this. I love that it's a little different from her in terms of like being different for her and also different for the runway. Like, she gets a lot of innovative points for me.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on to Q. So, Beth, you requested a very specific picture that I pull up next to Q. So, please walk me through this.
As soon as I saw Q on the runway and she said that she was like a pink praying mantis, as soon as I saw that, I said, she is Lurantis, the Pokemon. So I literally texted Leon. I said, could you pull up a picture of Lurantis and put it next to Q for the slideshow? So there you are. But this is, I thought, such a really beautiful way to, first of all, flowers, got them. Yep. That no problems there. I love that she has like the arms stilt, so to say, to be like a praying mantis. The fact that she's pink and everything, I just thought was like so Pokemon-esque with Lurantis. I was like, I have to show that this. If I didn't know better, this is what her source was. It wasn't a real praying mantis. It was this Pokemon.
Yeah, I think initially when she walked out, it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. That's so gorgeous. When I look a little bit closer, I don't like the bikini.
The panty? Yeah, I hate that.
I hate it. It's actually very distracting to me. I hate it so much because I enjoy the other elements of the look. So
when she's bent over, I don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. When she's bent over and it kind of covers it, like the corset covers it a little bit more, it blends in. But for some reason, it's like a lighter white that's a little bit more reflective. And I don't know why it bothers me so much. But
not a reflective panty. Hate that.
I know. We all hate that.
It shouldn't avert your eyes. You know, you should be. No.
Chastity belt. Look away.
Could you imagine if she made it a green panty? It absolutely would have been Lurantis then. Look at that.
Yeah.
Like, I do stripes,
the similarities.
Yeah, stripes, as soon as, pants or something.
Exactly. As soon as I Googled it, I was like, oh yeah, I totally see this. Okay. Let's talk about, we got two more looks. Plain Jane is up first, who does sort of a Rapunzel prince thing, kind of. She like pulls him up right by her hair.
Yeah.
That was it, I think. I thought she looked really pretty. I thought it was good. I think, again, it's so tough. She suffers a little bit from the morphine syndrome of coming up right after someone who just sort of blows you away. But I think she looks stunning. I think she looks gorgeous. So I can't really knock the look. I thought it was cute, creative.
No, it's super cute. And I like that like party dress cut on her. She carries it off really well.
Yeah. Last is Tsunami, who describes her look as an upside down bouquet, but did get a lot of heat. I mean, doesn't get critique, so we don't know what the judges thought of this, but does get some of her own critiques in Untucked from the other queens being like, girl, what is even this?
She lucked out because when the camera zoomed in and Untucked, and there were no floral prints on the bottom of her skirt to be found. I like the idea of what she was trying to say being an upside down bouquet, but then like, girl, what is your hair? Like I need answers. You need to be able to paint something on your face or something to show that you're like the very bottom of a bouquet, which is not attractive or something to look at.
Well, I mean, I think it really would have worked if the bottom was flowers. Like, right. I think that was it. And even it didn't have to be the kind of like glued on flowers that we saw from Megami or Q. Even if just it had been the floral print on the bottom, I think that would have been so much better.
And also,
I love Megami too. So it's really tough for me to critique her, but I have to.
No, I love Tsunami as well. I also don't understand, like, is the pink wrap supposed to be like that goes around bouquets?
It's like that cellophane. Yeah, it's like that cellophane that goes around.
Well, then it should be all around because it's not on one side of the flowers on a bouquet.
I think if she had had it like wrapped around her to begin and then could have opened it up so you could have seen the rest of the dress, that might have helped. But I do.
I think she should have done a handstand at one point and been like, bitch, just right up.
I'm upside down. Yeah, I think she definitely benefit. I mean, who knows? Maybe the judges would have been like, oh my God, we love this. This is so amazing. If I were on the judging panel, I would have been like, I don't get flowers. Explain. Right. That would have been the first thing I would have said to her. Thankfully, we had the voiceover. So, okay, I understood where she was coming from, but the judges don't. So they don't understand that context. All right. Those are deluxe. Yeah. We have a few more things to touch on before we wrap up, which we're going to do very quickly because I have to go to Pilates. So quick, lip sync. Maya versus Megami. Flowers. Miley Cyrus. Beth, thoughts. Go.
I like that Megami was really committed. She just wasn't committed to what the song is about. The song is about empowerment. It's not about being sad that you're no longer with your guy. It's supposed to be, you know, this was a song that Miley wrote to be like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't need a man to do these things for me. I can do it for myself. And that's not the vibe that Megami gave, even though she was really committed to it. And I feel like Maya took advantage of it and didn't have to do flips and tricks and such and showed us that she's a really good lip syncer. I do think that she out lip synced her.
Stayed on a penguin slide.
Yeah. That was, I mean, penguin slide. That was great.
Oh, so funny. So yeah, unfortunately we do lose Megami here. So, but her exit line, protect drag, protect queer art. She's sticking with her signs. She should have brought her signs back out.
That would have been great.
Her go, but like, I'm okay with that because I feel like the writing was a bit on the wall, and I do feel that way a little bit about Maya. So I think regardless of which one had gone, I think I would have felt like, okay, I'm okay with that decision. But I think, yeah, Maya won the lip sync. So
Megami, we do have to say Aman has lost his entire draft team. Yeah. And the audience still has both of theirs of Plain Jane and Tsunami. So RIP to Aman's team. You will be missed.
Yep.
Sad.
Sorry. We also got another fun line from Megami before she was eliminated. Well, this was earlier in the episode when right after the elimination, previous elimination, when she goes, I got beat by Buzz Lightyear. That also really made me laugh. So I'm happy that we still got some really fun moments for her and before her unfortunate departure.
For sure.
The last thing I want to talk about is Melissa Mafrickin' Carthy showing up and throwing baby bells at them. Why?
Why?
But I need to understand how much money Baby Bell pays either drag or Melissa McCarthy to do this. Like, I need to know the product placement because it was specifically Baby Bell cheeses.
And they had put markers over everything else that came from the store. Did you notice that? They had clearly had Starbucks drinks, but they put a big circle over all the Starbucks like icons and such. So this was definitely paid for. But the other part of it is too, is like, why isn't she just a judge?
Yes, it was the whole thing was so weird. I was watching with a friend of mine and we were like, okay, who do you think is going to come through? as the, oh, it's a surprise. Oh, Alyssa Edwards.
Maybe. I thought it was Alyssa Edwards. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Not expecting Melissa McCarthy and definitely not expecting the Baby Bell thing. Let me look real quick. Is she like a sponsor of that? Does she like do their commercials and stuff?
I have no idea. I don't watch commercials.
Yeah, I can't find. Okay, I don't find anything, at least initially. So if anybody can explain the Baby Bell cheese conspiracy, that would make it a little bit more clear for me. So
yeah, definitely. It was just so weird. I love Melissa McCarthy. I would love for her to be like a proper judge on the show. And it was just weird to be like, okay, so we have about 20 minutes of your time. Would you come out here and have a gag and just throw some Baby Bells at these queens while they're also trying to learn choreography? So go for it. It was so random.
So but funny.
I'm at a point where nothing really shocks me, though, on Drag Race anymore. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not, like, to be clear, I'm not upset by the Baby Bell cheeses. I just want to know. Like, it just fascinates me.
For sure. I can't wait for next week when, you know, Ariana Grande comes back just for a second to be like, anybody want some Cool Whip?
Yeah, exactly. She's like up there throwing fruit by the foot at them. Like, I want to know the next plug, whatever that is. I would love if that became a running joke of just chucking food up to the queens to give them a little bit of a snack.
Here's some pistachios.
I knew Big Pistachio was in on it. All right. We got to wrap up. Is there anything else, Beth, that you want to talk about?
No. I think I got it all out of my system.
Okay. Snatch Game. Next week is freaking Snatch Game. I can't wait. So excited. I really want to know what Plasma's going to do because I thought she was saving some of her characters. We've now seen some of them. I want to see what everybody's going to do. Can't wait. I think it's going to be so fun. Snatch Game.
It'll be a good one.
All right, Beth, anything you want to plug? People find you on Twitter, AugustaWind11.
Yep, AugustaWind11 everywhere. On my weekly meltdown, we did our draft last night for Survivor 46. So if you want to check that out and make sure that you understand that I have the best team, then go ahead and do so.
Oh, yes. So I'm happy that you brought up Survivor. You can follow me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. But so yes, Survivor is right around the corner. Mike Bloom and I are going to be recording a preview podcast next week. So I am getting through the cast. They seem like a really wacky bunch. I am really excited for this season. I have no idea what's going to happen. I think for the first time, I have less of a sense of predictions, but that's what makes it fun. So definitely look out for that. That'll be in the Survivor feed as well as the wrap-ups feed. You can leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes, robswebsite.com/dragrace. Obviously very helpful. Thank you to the whole RHAP team for all of their help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.